All right. Thank you, Brother Edwin. That's the only thing we have to glory in, amen, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Luke for a little bit here. And ask you to go to chapter 11 of the book of Luke, familiar verses. I'm not going to read from the beginning. I'm just going to jump in a little ways. But most of you remember, it's teaching on prayer, and on not just a short prayer, but staying with it, sticking with it. And the Lord gives a story of the fellow that's already in bed when his friend comes and tells him to lend him three loaves of bread. And he didn't want to get up and do it, but he finally did because the fellow wouldn't quit bothering him. And based on that story that he just told, down in verse 8 of Luke chapter 11, he says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asketh a fish? You thought I went there because of that word, didn't you? Or if he ask a fish? I just wanted to tell you it's scriptural food. Come on back. Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Now I'm going to stop there and get you to take a notice right here. When he asked for a fish, he said, would he give him a serpent? Would he give him a substitute? I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on the generic age that we live in. Generic. Basically, we're talking about an inferior substitute. Now, some would argue about that, but it's not the real thing. I mean, it's not the genuine, it's a substitute. It's something we generally think of in medication as being cheaper, and we hope it works. It's cheaper, it may not, I don't know. But anyway, it's not the real thing. I think about the lady that was out in the boat, and pretty good sized boat, but she fell overboard. And there was a strong fellow there that was going to rescue her. He reached over the boat, and he grabbed her by the arm, and the artificial arm came off. The leg come out of the water, he grabbed it, but it was an artificial leg, and it come off. He was desperate now. She was about to drown. He reached over and got her by the hair of the head, and it come off. She was hollering, save me. He said, lady, I can't save you if I can't get a hold of the real you. There's a little truth in that. Sometimes the real thing is camouflaged a little bit, disguised a little bit, or substituted with something else. Now, here's the admonition to pray. And the admonition is that God will give you the genuine. God will give you the right thing. He'll give you the answer. It won't be a generic thing that he gives you. He won't substitute, as it were, a serpent for a fish and so forth. Now, you know the dictionary meaning of generic. I think it says it has the genesis of the original elements in it. I don't know all about that. I know the teens don't mean it that way when they use it. Have you noticed the teens? That's a generic fella. Sort of comes along the line of wimpy or nerd or some of the other words that they'll probably have in the dictionary in a few years, because if the teens start using them, that's what happens. But anyway, it's talking about being deceived in some cases. That's what I'm speaking on tonight. You know, there's deceit in everything today, worse than I have ever seen it in my life. You go up to buy gas, and they got alcohol in it, which mixes with water, which costs them more to make than the gas itself. It's amazing stuff that we got. Rots out your parts in your car and rusts them out, and you sure don't want to use it in the lawnmower if you want to use it more than one time. I mean, it's just a lot of stuff like that. But We look around today and we see the deceit here and there, and I understand. I'm not after some of you folks, but the cold drinks that you drank, you say, well, they're diet colas. Yeah, you may die from them too, because they got chemical in them. Amen. Now I'm gonna tell you a true story. So help me. So help me. It's true. I used to work in around chemicals a lot. And I remember one time, long time, years after I'd left that job, I remember one time we were working on some church project out here, and somebody went uptown, went to the store, and got us some cold drinks and came back and was passing them out. And I took one sip, and that was all. It was a diet soda. I said, I know chemical when I taste it. I'm not drinking that. Help yourself. But I'm just telling you, it's in there, brother. I can tell it. I've been around it too much. And there's something in it. It's generic. It's not the real thing. It's a fake. It's a substitute. You say, yeah, but it don't have the calories. I'd rather live a long time fat than die skinny young. No, I'm just... Somebody says skinny is in. No, fat's where it's at. Amen. I'm playing with you a little bit. I'll get... a little more serious here in a minute, maybe. But anyway, especially since I got about 30 pounds, I'd love to give somebody. But let me say this. We're in the generic age. You know what we got today? We got a generic government. It's not the real thing, brother. It's not the true government we used to have. It's lost its true purpose. You know what the true purpose of government was in a capitalistic nation like we are and founded by our forefathers? Government's solid and singular role was to give you and I protection of our property and of our health to go out there and be able to work and earn a living and keep the wages that we earn and the profit that we make. But it's a long time disappeared from that. We've got a generic government today. The biblical form of our government, our forefathers gave us, has been replaced. If you want to look at a verse, turn over to Isaiah. I thought about this, and here's God's condemnation of Israel when they slipped from what they were supposed to be. Isaiah chapter 3, you can find it. Get right on over there and look at it in chapter 3 and mark it, because probably in the next election, we're going to do exactly what these verses are talking about. I don't know whether we'll get the fellow that's in there out or not for sure. But if we do, here's what we're going to have to replace. Look at it in Isaiah chapter 3 and pick it up in verse 12. God's condemning Israel now. He's condemning them for their sin, for their wickedness. And he says in verse 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, which lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. Now, ladies, don't get mad, but you never were intended to be in the place of authority. And I don't. Somebody says, well, women are policemen. Yeah, It's a good thing that they got some help around when they try to tackle the bad guys. I want to say to you, there is a place, and I get off in trouble, and there's a biblical place that sets the woman on high, but what we've got in society today is puts her down low. And the trouble is, you got no business out there doing the man's job that he ought to do. And here God says that Israel has got so wimpy and so sick that he's going to put women to rule over them. That's what he's condemning them with, that statement. And that's, somebody says, you're a male chauvinist. No, I'm a Bible believer. Amen. Amen. The truth of the matter is, we got a wimpy government, and pretty soon we'll have a woman president. And help yourself. You can already guess her name. But we've slipped a long way from what God said we were supposed to be. Ben Franklin, when he come out of the Continental Congress, you remember when they had come out of the Congress there, and it had been a hot time, and they'd finally got things earned out, and somebody asked old Ben Franklin, as he come out, Mr. Franklin, what have you given us? He said, I've given you a republic if you can keep it. When you pledge that flag over there, you pledge to the flag of the United States of America and to the what? republic for which it stands, we're no longer that republic. We're now mob ruled by whatever the polls say. And boy, what a mess we're in. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. We're in a generic government. We've got a generic economy right now. Did you know that? I tell you the truth. I cannot believe what's going on. Now, you hear the news and the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. I wish I could put them in a bag with bricks and drop them in the ocean. They're killing this country. They're killing. I mean, they're right now killing the coal industry. They've about killed the gas industry. They're killing the energy, and yet at the same time, don't understand that's destroying the economy. What a joke. And it's all in this thing that George Washington warned against. When he warned against in his farewell address, first president, I believe God's blessing was on him. I believe he supernaturally was protected to be in there and to bring this nation to be independent that we were and to be one of the founding fathers of this great nation. And George Washington in his farewell address said this, look out for one worldism. Boy, that's where we at. We can't make a decision without the United Nations nuts up there having something to say. We're given treaties and stuff that surrender our freedoms to them all the time, and our economy is being brought down to that level. It is an amazing thing that's happening not only in our energy, it's happening in our education. I want to tell you, my grandma went to sixth grade in school. Most of the time in a little country school where the grades were kept together in one big room. Grandma had more knowledge in the sixth grade than almost the seniors that you would graduate today, with just few exceptions. Her handwriting would be prettier. Her spelling would have been better. I'm saying to you, we've come downhill. Instead of teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic, brother, we're teaching, well, I won't say it. Immorality has taken the place in too many cases. We've come to a time, though, in our nation where we got a generic peace fixing to come, and the Bible predicted that. Said today they'd be saying peace, peace, when there was no peace. Did you see in the news where the Pope met with the leader of Israel and the Palestinians, wanting to have a Palestinian state that shoves Israel out into the ocean? But he had a prayer meeting. It's on the news. Go home and see it tonight. You can get a rerun. Watch out for that, folks. That's exactly what is predicted. Look out for the false peace plan that'll ultimately be headed up and be part of the program of the Antichrist. And there's no doubt about what I'm talking to you about. We've come to a place where we let our boys die arresting the terrorists, and then we set them free. This craziest thing in the world that I've ever seen. And I'm talking about the leadership. I'm talking about the planners. I'm talking about those that helped plan 9/11 and hitting the towers. I'm talking about that crowd. And all of a sudden, we make any excuse to let them go home and do it again. And that's what they will do. Even the CIA said at least 4 of them out of the 5 that was just released would be back on the battlefield soon. Yet we do it. Something bad wrong. We got a generic government. We got a generic morality that's taken over. Abortion is killing babies. And yet they put a mental twist on it. Say it's a woman's choice. I want to tell you, a hitman that goes out here and makes his living killing people, we wouldn't say he had a choice, would we? Get quiet as you want to. God's going to hold some folks accountable for genocide, for killing and shedding innocent blood. And America's as guilty as sin on that. It is a sin, and they're guilty. Somebody says a woman ought to have a choice. Yes, she ought to have a choice before she gets pregnant, and not killing the baby afterwards. Amen. Oh, we're in a generic morality today. The homosexual agenda. See the articles in the paper all the time. I saw an article where it said there was some kind of gene, some kind of something different in the homosexual's brain. I saw that. Any excuse. I said, yeah, he's turned over to a reprobate mind. That's what the Bible says. I know what his flaw is. It's called sin, amen? That's what it is. No doubt about it. But you know, we come to a time that we got generic marriage. It's belittled. And it seems all right to take the Hollywood movie stars, let them shack up, have babies together and everything else, and then promote them as though some great big achievement. Like they were some kind of heroes. No wonder our young people don't know what's right and wrong. Getting a married. I said it. I'm going to say it again. The president called the other day and congratulated the ball player that announced he was gay, but he got congratulated because he was chosen on a team. So you said that twice. I'm going to say it three or four more of the times. If you keep coming, you'll hear me again. I can't hardly get over that. My soul, like he was a hero or something. But marriage is belittled everywhere that you look. Hillary Clinton said recently, or no, not recently, it was quite a while back, she said she compared marriage to slavery. Now, I'm not for the dictator over in Russia, Mr. Putin. I'm not for him, but I like what he said this week. How many of you hear what he said about Hillary this week? She said something about him, and he said, well, he said, it's not good to argue with a woman. Now, let me tell you what he meant by that. He meant America, just what Isaiah said in chapter 3, you got a woman for leader. Now, help yourself, ladies. I'm not putting you down. I'm just telling you, that's not where God wanted you to be. Don't come anymore. We won't miss you. Everybody's gone anyway this summer. We will miss you. But he also said this. He said, when she speaks, she don't speak with much grace. Boy, he nailed that one. He got that one right. All right, I'll get off of it. We got a generic Christianity, too, and that's something we ought to be ashamed of, where our part comes in. We've lost our Holy Ghost power because we've lost our separation from the world. We don't look like Christians and talk like them and act like them like we used to. That's sad, folks. I believe we ought to tell folks we're saved. I believe we ought to tell folks we're Christians, but I also believe they ought to be able to pretty well detect it and know you're telling the truth when you say it. Your lifestyle shouldn't belie what your lips are saying. Generic Christianity. We look around, we got generic Bibles. Everybody, well, I understand that one, but hey, don't you care that somebody else put their 2 cents worth in and called it a Bible? That's their idea. That's their opinion. That's something they didn't like. That's why they took sodomy out of it, because a lesbian was on the translating committee. Don't you understand there's a motive to destroy God's truth? Somebody said to me recently something, they spotted my tag on my car out there. The tag on the back of that old big Buick I drive. I know it's big and ugly, but it's soft and comfortable. And it's got a lot of power. If you want to spin the wheels, you can spin them. And they're where they ought to be, in the rear, amen? You can peel off if you want to. Now, I'm just enjoying myself tonight. I'll be through in a minute. But they saw my tag on the back of that thing. Stephen calls it my lanyard. The tag on the back says OKJV. And I was at the hospital somewhere and somebody said, old KJV. I said, you know what that means? He said, yeah, that's the old King James Bible. I said, right. He said, well, I have a hard time understanding it. I said, study more. I don't want it watered down. I don't want to put it down there for you. Get up here where God wanted you to know something, amen? Anyway, we've changed the Bible, haven't we? I say we, a bunch of folks have. Sad truth. Sad truth. But you know, we look around, we see a generic Christianity, generic Bible, generic church. You can tell by the music or lack of it or what they call music in many cases. No stand on righteousness. Let me say this. In the old days, Christians believed it was right to belong to a local, visible church. And that church covenant said when you move from one town to another, you're supposed to find a church of like faith and move your membership. We got folks in Florida that moved everything here 40 years ago except their membership. And some have attended my church about that long. Now, I'm glad they attend, but God cares about the local church. Jesus started the church. He didn't start General Motors. He didn't start the stock market. He started the church. And it's important. You ought to care about your membership. You ought to be faithful to it. You ought to come. You ought to attend summer time as well as winter. You ought to give the tithe. The cause is just as great in the summer as it is in the winter. And you ought to understand that if you don't do that, then that particular local church can die. God will see that there's some still alive until the trumpet sounds, until he comes back. And I want to be one of those. Don't want to give up to this generic age. This substitute age that we're in. But the church has gone that way today in so many cases. It's substituted a generic gospel for the real thing. Social gospel. Really, what's replaced the gospel now is pantheism. Everything is all right. When the Pope had the peace meeting with the Israeli leader and the Palestinian leader, they prayed. Listen to me. They had a prayer meeting. Now here you got a Jew, you got a Catholic, and you got a Muslim. So they prayed all three prayers. Oh, isn't that sweet? Just lovey-dovey, sweet, sickening sweet. Wonder what God would think up there. One's praying to Allah, one's praying to the Lord God, Jehovah, and the other one's probably praying to Mary or some other saint, so called. You folks could have enjoyed this sermon if you'd have got into it tonight, but you didn't. You just fooled around and sat there like you had something bad for supper or hadn't had supper yet. We might as well come out to the house of God and get in on the blessing. Amen. What it equals to is they've got a generic Christ. Now I read the text here, and it says the Father's not going to substitute a serpent for a fish. He's not going to give you something generic. He's going to give you the real thing. I'm glad of that. We only got one Christ. You got a Christ means the anointed one. The devil's got his Christ. These false religions have got theirs, but there's only one true one. I've been reading some here in the last few weeks about some of the classes that have been presented to some of our soldier boys right here in America. And they're presenting things like this, getting them ready to fight home terrorism. And they are trying to program them to be willing to go out and shoot, if necessary, American citizens. Hear me good. If they won't do it, in the time comes, they're going to bring in foreign troops from the UN to do that very thing. And some of the soldiers, and thank God they are rebelling, but one of them I read about, he said, look, they defined the enemy. They put it up on the PowerPoint screen. And he said, when they begin to list the terrorists in America that we got to look out for, they listed evangelical Christians. And they gave this reason for listing them. Because they're fanatics, they believe their way only is right. See, that's an attack on Christ. He said, I am the way. Not one of many ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. That makes you and I terrorist suspect. Can you believe that? That our generic government could have come to that place? Folks, we're talking about preparation for the Antichrist kingdom when you hear stuff like that. That's what's being talked about. The so-called Christ spirit of the new age reaches out and embraces everybody into a pantheism, a universalism. That's the plan. That's why when the new Bibles and others, John 3:16, they got to take out only begotten. See, they don't want it to be that it's just exclusively Jesus Christ. And you're having that happen all over the place. But there is only one way. Only one way, only one name given unto heaven among men whereby we must be saved, the Bible says. Oh, yes, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. He was the only one. He is the only one because he was the only one that could make the sacrifice and pay for our sins. And he did that when he shed his blood for us. You remember when you read about the crucifixion in the Bible? You remember over there where the veil in the temple was rent in twain? Scripture says from top to bottom, it fell out open. There was a new way made, a new way to go into the Holy of Holies. No longer did they count on the priest once a year. No longer was it a law-keeping and an animal sacrifice thing, but the way of salvation was open, and Christ is our high priest, and he's the one that we come to, and he's the only way, and he's the only way into the Father. The veil in the temple was rent in twain. The Holy of Holies was exposed. You understand? That veil kept eyes off the Holy of Holies. In that Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant with the cherubim with the folding wings over it. And inside that Holy of Holies was the mercy seat where the priest, the high priest, went in and gave the blood of atonement once a year only. Remember, that was a secret place where the Shekinah glory of God came down, and there was no light in the Holy of Holies except the light of God. And when that high priest went in there, it was God's light that showed him around. There was no torch. There was no lamp. It was God's light. But here's the thing. When the veil in the temple was rent in twain, the light went away. You see, it was over. The old covenant was over. We have a new covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Whether this world ever likes it or not, it's going to be proven one day when he comes back in, the Bible says, in the brightness of his coming, when he comes back in judgment, leading the armies of heaven in the brightness of his coming. Oh, no. Jesus will have the glory of the light around him. Edwin was thinking a little bit about the glory of the cross. And the truth is, thank God you know Christ. One day you're going to be in his glory. He is the sacrifice. He is the propitiation, the Bible says, for our sins. He is the Holy of Holies for you and I. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. We're living in a generic time, but I thank God he's offering you a genuine Savior. And that genuine Savior is still offered today. Everybody listening on the radio to me right now could be saved if they'd come to Christ. He's the only way, but he's the genuine way. You know, I read the text here, and it was talking about prayer. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You come to Christ and he'll open unto you. You come to him and you trust him. He won't give you a stone or a serpent. He'll give you a true salvation. And I tell you what, when you do come to him genuinely, and he genuinely becomes your Savior, you may not like this, but I want to tell you the truth. You really get saved. You really get the real thing, and you'll be run for this old world. Did you know that? You won't fit here no more. See, you heard me preach tonight and you say, he's different. Uh-huh. Something happened to me. Somebody says, well, he's cracked. Yeah, that's where the light got in. And the light is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the good part about it is, brother, it'll change you. You won't fit here no more. You'll be down here doing God's work, but I'll be up there. You're wanting to go home and you're ready for him to take you. Amen. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it'll spoil you. It'll spoil you for this old world down here. It'll change your want-tos, desires, when you really know Christ. I'm not talking about a generic Christ. I'm not talking about a fake. I'm talking about the real thing. Really knowing.